No, 281, not 181. What were we thinking?
Did I say 181?
You said 181. And
I'm glad you stopped me because I'm pretty sure I named the file 181 intro. Let me check. Yep, that says 181. Well, hopefully I think about that in post.
Welcome to 2013, ladies and gentlemen.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 281 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for Monday, August the 7th, 2015. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
Enjoying myself a refreshing orange Gatorade here. I'm a little concerned that the cap is too thin. I don't know how much you pay attention to Gatorade caps, Tony, but there's been some stuff going on with the Gatorade cap over the last couple of years, really. They keep changing the design. There for a while, there was like this little, like, okay, if you look in the Gatorade cap, it's got like this kind of squishy plastic thing in there to kind of help it seal.
Almost kind of waxy.
Yeah, but there for a while, they didn't have that, and they just put this little plastic ring in there that would help seal. But water got trapped in that all the time, and so every time you'd open your Gatorade bottle, it would just like leak onto your hand. This is gross.
Wow, I've not really kept up with the technology behind the Gatorade cap.
You know, you're missing out.
Well, yeah, that may be true.
And now my orange Gatorade is empty. Now I'm thirsty.
Okay, well, I've got a nice cup of tea right here.
That helps me none at all.
Sorry, I could send it to you if you need me to. I could send Katie up there. It'd take a while because she's got to walk.
I'm going
to
say, it probably wouldn't be very hot anymore. I don't even know if Katie knows where I live.
Probably not.
I'd just soon keep it that way. I don't want her showing up here and causing any kind of mischief. Who knows?
I know somebody who does know where you live, though, and that is Mr. Mikey Keon.
That's kind of creepy. Don't
that
say
does
it like that.
Sound kind of scary, right?
We were off to a great start. And things just kind of...
things got weird.
Yeah, Gatorade cap talk. Really a strong start.
I know. Believe me, I know.
Hey, at least I'm not the creeper showing up to my house. Wait, I am. I live here.
You are at your house every day. I don't know if you know this, Shelby.
I sleep here. How scary is that?
That's pretty scary.
But there for a second in my head, that made perfect sense. But I don't think anyone else gets it.
And then the fourth member of the crew this week, Mr. Shannon Reckenberg.
I've been watching a trailer for... What is this? Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
This game looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's Mirror's Edge for you.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I played the first one.
Only took 16 years.
Yeah.
That's it?
I think that's accurate.
So Kojima's making the next Mirror's Edge.
You figured it out. That's why he quit, yeah.
He left the Metal Gear franchise to make Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, Faith is, now she's a mind reader with a gas mask.
Sweet. Okay.
Actually, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yep.
I'd play that game.
Yep.
So, well, all right, guys. It's getting late already.
Wait, is this the end of the show? What happened?
Yep, we're done. I'm ready.
I mean, I know there ain't much news, but dang.
Yeah, we're just going to skip the whole show. We're just going to go straight from the intro to the outro.
We could do that, right?
I wonder if anybody would notice.
I don't know. People probably wouldn't care. I don't think anyone listens to this anyway.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. So, how about we take a quick break right here? We'll come back and we will talk about some of the video games we've been playing over the last week. Shannon, you're up first this week. What have you been playing?
Shannon's always up first.
I know.
You like say that like, all right, Shannon, we spun the wheel and it landed on you.
Well, that's what I do. I have a little wheel right here. Somehow every week it starts with Shannon.
Is there a bankruptcy?
It's because my name's the only one on the wheel.
Is there a bankruptcy slot on this wheel?
No. There's a spin again though.
Oh, okay.
Why would you do that to yourself? Here we go, my own wheel of fate.
One of these days, you gotta make it real, man. There's not the chance to lose everything. There's no excitement.
Oh, man. Okay, so Shelby, you were pretty keen on Titan Souls, right?
Yes, I was very happy with that game.
That game is really good.
Right? I'm telling you people, I know these things. I pick good games to play.
I have been playing it on the Vita TV.
You picked this up on that PSN set, the retro sale or whatever?
Yeah.
It was like $6 or something. Yeah, it was super cheap.
And cross-buy. I thought, like, the way that it was described on PSN was no cross-buy, but...
Yeah, I thought so too, but I think it is. Because I bought it on Vita, not expecting to get it on PS3, but I, like, went back and looked, and it... Maybe I have it? I don't know. I guess I need to try. But yeah, I'm sorry, you talk about it, not me.
Yeah, it was totally available to download to my PS3. If I had a PS4, I could get it there. But I chose to download it to the Vita TV, and really enjoying it. I like how you get absolutely no description other than just go kill the monsters and figure it out.
Yeah,
that's all you really need.
Just dumps you in, just go. Like, it doesn't even, there's nothing. You just, like, a dude shows up and you go. You gotta figure it out. I like that kind of game.
Each one of the bosses has been a puzzle in and of itself, and it seems like every time that I finally figure out the trick, it's just like, oh, why didn't I see that from the start?
Yeah, it's cool. I like. There's a handful of bosses in there. I want to say there's, I don't know, probably like 20 or so, maybe somewhere around there, and each one of them's pretty unique and different. They're cool.
Yeah, I just beat, I just got into the second area, so if that helps make any sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but what you don't realize is the second area is a lot of area.
Okay.
There's a lot of places to go.
I got to that point, and I called it a night.
Yeah. Just wait till you get to that Yeti, man. Oof. You'll know him when you see him, trust me.
I had a lot of trouble with the golem thingy right before you get through that gate. Man.
It's satisfying, though, when you finally get that one hit, though, right?
Yep.
Just that sound effect and the screen turns black and white and, like, all the sound just drops out. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
I also played a lot of pachinko.
Oh, gosh.
What?
No, I played a lot of pachinko.
You realize there's a story mode in that game, right?
It's called pachinko. That's their story mode.
Pachinko.
Not a pachinko simulator.
There's a Yakuza story side quest in there somewhere.
It's a pachinko game with a Yakuza side quest. This is what Shannon sees.
I played so much pachinko that after getting into a all caps texting war with Micah at one point, after getting to that point, I asked Lauren to be my ball buster. In other words, if I start playing the balls through the pachinko machines, she was supposed to yell at me.
You have a problem, dude. I mean, yeah, just because you found a way how to virtually sidestep your addiction doesn't make it any better.
Look, it is an incredible feeling when I just, man.
You know what else is an incredible feeling? Beating a video game!
I beat the pachinko.
No, you didn't! That's what you think!
You're never going to get that trophy, man.
There's a trophy?
It's not going to happen. He's going for the trophy.
What's the trophy?
The Pachinko King trophy.
What do you got to do for said trophy?
Get all the balls.
Well, that's not possible.
You have to get, like, 30,000 balls.
How many do you have? 10?
You start off with 250. Uh-huh. And you have to beat the odds that hard.
This is a slot machine. Keep in mind.
It's basically like Take Vegas, is what it's saying. Get all the money.
Remember that video game, This is Vegas? That never came out. Remember Midway? They used to make video games.
This is just one of the mini games in Yakuza. Shannon has probably played it for 30 hours.
Something close to that, yeah.
You play pachinko in Yakuza 4 more than I did all of Yakuza 4. Micah hates both of us now.
It's true. It's true.
Okay, so... Yeah, after getting into that texting war with Micah about how I don't need to be wasting my time in the pachinko parlor.
What, were you looking at his PSN profile and it said Yakuza 4 pachinko parlor? And he's just like, no, this will not stand.
So, he told me he was going for the trophy, and I told him he was out of his mind.
Why did you admit to that?
Because that's
a cry for help. That's what that is.
Maybe
I probably told him I was proud of him for playing, and then he was like, "If you knew what I was doing, you wouldn't be so proud of me." And then he was like, "Well, you'll be proud when I get this trophy." What are you doing, Shannon?
You know, I think that's exactly how that conversation went.
Anyway, so I asked Lauren to keep me from going into the pachinko parlor. She was sitting in the living room watching something on Netflix with her iPhone. And I started going through some more of Taiga Saijima.
Saijima, yeah.
Yeah. I was going through his stories. Yes. I was
The game.
I was playing the game and going through his story. And Lauren started asking me questions. She was reading the subtitles and following along.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She got wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're playing that game together now.
So did you have to did you have to start over?
No, she was watching the reminiscence stuff.
Okay.
And I just kind of
Oh, you weren't were you playing the game or were you watching the reminisce stuff?
Okay, so over the course of that night,
did you forget the story because you played pachinko for too long?
No.
You can't reminisce the same game.
over the course, let me explain. Over the course of that night, I finished Saijima's story.
Okay.
After
she's
that,
she's there with you.
Yeah, she's there with me, following through every bit of it.
And she's in. She's like, man, this is really great.
Yes.
Where has this been in my life?
I don't know if that's exactly what came to her mind, but
it was.
Just say yes. Just.
Okay. So I finished that and I call it a night. And then the next day, Lauren's asking, okay, so starts asking me questions about the story. How did we get to that point? And I try explaining it to the best of my ability. And I just go, you know what? Boot the game while you're at home. Then go in and watch the story. Watch Yakuza 1. Watch Yakuza 2. Watch Yakuza 3. And she did.
Okay, but you still missed out on Akiyama, which ladies love Akiyama. You can't deny her that.
You'll bring her up to speed.
It'll come full circle.
So she went out of her way on her own time, went back and watched all the movies for the previous three games?
Yes.
This is the power of Yakuza, people. You too could make your life better.
That game's for everybody, man.
I really want to sit down and play Yakuza 3. I need to find a physical copy of that.
Micah may have a basement full of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The foundation of his house is actually built out of Yakuza 3.
I'll support
I think before I get there, though, I need to finish 4, which is a goal for this week. So.
Okay.
And then we get to the meat of everything I've played for, like, the last month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have played, like, 23 hours at this point of Project Mirai.
There's no DX. Pachinko parlors in that, right?
Correct.
Okay. No pachinko parlors. Just making sure. Because if you say I played the game for 3 minutes and spent the rest of that playing pachinko, I'm going to come to your house.
No.
And hurt you.
What is Project Mirai?
Project Mirai is the new rhythm game, the Hatsune Miku Vocaloid rhythm game for the Nintendo 3DS, released in North America.
All right, not everybody knows this. I just assume everybody knows what I know.
The show isn't for you, Sean.
Somehow, through a weird turn of events, Shelby passed on writing the review for this game, and I ended up with the review copy.
Yeah.
And I have had so much fun in this game. Yeah. I am willing to rank this up with some of the best rhythm games I've ever played.
Those are fighting words, man.
I am serious. There is so much content.
Content does not make a game great. Why is it great?
That is good.
Okay. All right.
there is an amazing song selection. You have a total of 48 tracks that you can unlock and play. You have two different modes that you can use to play through these songs. You can use the touchscreen, which now the resistive touchscreen of the 3DS is not the greatest thing in the world, but it works.
Barely. It works okay. You will miss stuff because of the hardware.
Yeah, but you can't count that against the game.
No. I actually prefer the touch mode.
See, I really like the button mode, but I think I know the system. I think we talked about that already.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually think I like the touch mode in that game better.
If anybody's played Project Diva, you...
I have!
Me too.
Everyone on the show has played Project Diva. I feel happy with myself.
To the listeners out there, though.
You're slacking, Mike. Tony hasn't played Yakuza yet. I'm keeping up my end of the deal. You're trying to talk. I'm sorry. But I'm sorry.
To anybody who's played a Project Diva game, Project Mirai plays in a similar way. Whereas when you're in touch mode, the face buttons come up on screen and you have to hit the face buttons in time with the music. The only difference is you have a note track that moves all over the screen and your face buttons are going to come up on that note track instead of just popping up at random locations all over the screen. So I thought this was a little bit easier to follow. I had a lot of difficulty doing harder difficulty settings in the Project Diva games, whereas I feel Project Mirai is a lot easier to follow with my eyes.
Cool. Yeah, and this a lot game easier. It's way easier. Yeah. Way easier overall. Even on hard.
It's super chibi characters. I mean, the cute meter for this game is turned up to like 99, and it's just fantastic.
So just hot tip. This game combines two things I love, Miku and toys, because the character design is modeled after Nendoroids, which are a Japanese toy line made by Good Smile Company, which are super big head, super short limbs, little chibi stocking, you know, really stocking stuffer, that's what we're looking for. Really, like, short chibi, I guess. I don't know. I was going over something there, but I forgot what it was. Really chibi looking characters. Stocky? Yeah, maybe that's what I was looking for. Characters. So they're like the living toys kind of thing. So if you do a Google search for like Nendoroid or something, that's what the characters look like. They're cool. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. And there is so much content. I was talking about 48 tracks. That's just the rhythm game. You also have basically the lifestyle end of this, where the first thing you are told to do when you start up the game is pick a partner. You're given, I think there were 8 Vocaloids to choose from the very beginning. And you pick one of them and you give them an apartment and you can get them outfits by playing the rhythm game and dress them up and decorate the room with furniture that you'll buy in the game. And you can play mini games, like there's a Chinese checkers mini game that you can play against your partner in the game. You can also give them an allowance and do all of the basically... It's kind of like almost Nintendogs. You just have them in your room as a pet, which is kind of weird.
A lot like the Diva room stuff and the Project Diva stuff, but it sounds like there's probably a little bit more to do with it. Who'd you pick as your partner? I must know.
Luca.
Okay. Smart man.
You can change your partner at any point in time in the game, too. So at this point, with the amount of time I have spent playing this game, I have everybody set as a partner. With them all in their own apartments, with individual furniture, and they all have a recurring allowance that's set up to come out of the Mirai points that I earned by playing the rhythm game.
That sounds adorable.
So they can go out and buy their own food. They can go to the shop. Like me personally in the game, I can go out of the apartment and go to the shop and buy them an outfit. Or if you set them an allowance, I guess the AI, they just randomly buy stuff based off of what they have in their allowance.
Sounds like Tomodachi life.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And something that's amazing, there is a full Puyo Puyo game in here.
What's Puyo Puyo?
Yes, is so good. Puyo Puyo is a puzzle game.
Not everybody knows that. I keep thinking everyone just knows what I know.
Sorry. I think I did the same thing. But anyway, Puyo Puyo is jelly puzzle fighter.
Remember that Dr. Robotnik's mean bean machine? It's that.
There you go.
Kirby's Avalanche,
yeah. Kirby's a jerk in that game.
It's match four drop blocks from the top. But they're not blocks, they're like little gels of jelly. And it's awesome and done up in Vocaloid style with songs from the game playing in the background. It's just wonderful and cutesy.
Now you said in the review you had to have multi-card to play that multiplayer?
From what I come to understand, yes, you do have to have more than one copy of the game to do multiplayer.
Okay.
But it is available to play with other people. So that is a plus.
Well, the only solution is that everyone should buy the game.
Yes, everybody should buy the game. Something else that's awesome, there is a music synthesizer in here where you can build your own songs.
There's a Vocaloid program inside the video game based off the Vocaloid characters, which sing songs made out of the Vocaloid program. That's meta. Yes.
It's pretty awesome. I think that's where Shannon spent 20 of his 40 hours of gameplay.
I spent probably about 5 hours trying to make a song using this Vocaloid program.
That's nuts.
I had too much fun. And every bit of it, like, you can actually use it.
That's too much fun. I couldn't take it. I died. I exceeded the maximum fun limit that my body could handle.
Look, I had a lot of fun. Your Vocaloids, they sit there and they sing, and while you're putting the note tracks in line with the synthesizer, they're playing them on the keyboard on the top screen. It's so cute.
That's
and awesome.
What I've been telling you these all this time.
It's so good.
We're changing him, Shelby.
I know, for the better.
One Miku and one Yakuza game at a time.
They're better men for man. It.
One of the best features that I think every rhythm game needs to have that I wish Taiko Drum Master had, there is a music player in this. You guys remember on Smash Brothers for the 3DS how you can just go into the system settings and listen to the music tracks and build a playlist and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Did any of you mess with that?
No.
Okay. There's a full-featured music player where you can take all 48 tracks, plus you can take there. You eventually unlock more tracks, which are
edit
just,
play songs. Yeah,
yeah, edits of the songs or like system songs and stuff like that. But you can take all of that. You can build a playlist, and then you can hit play, close your system, put it in your pocket, and listen to it with your headphones.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Think about how far you've come, Shannon. Before you knew me, you didn't know any Figmas. You didn't know who Miku was. You've never played a Yakuza game. Now look at you. You got Figmas. You're stinking
addicted to gambling.
You're a better man.
You're a better man. You're in a pachinko parlor all night,
but a virtual one. So he's not going to get into that lung cancer stuff.
Doesn't come home smelling like smoke.
That's a big
lost
difference.
All your money, but. You don't smell like smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, guys, the pachinko machine, the Aladdin pachinko machine, is more featured than just, I mean, there's so much stuff and everything in there. When you hit the jackpot in the right way, then you go through this mini game where you have like two genies fighting over your little pachinko ball. And if your genie wins, then it opens up a lever in the top side that you then go for another jackpot. And if you land that jackpot within 90 seconds, you get another jackpot, which then puts a 10 times multiplier on your ball return.
It's like Inception. That's gambling of gambling of gambling.
We're going to have a pachinko intervention.
He's too far
gone
at this point.
That is just one of the mini games. You're not even experiencing the city yet. You haven't even played karaoke.
That's just one of the machines of one of the mini games.
It's true. That's just one of the pachinko machines inside the pachinko parlor. I read through the whole list last week. I don't think people understand the value proposition of these games. It is the every game. If you like video games, it's the omega game.
Shannon, do you do the thing like regular gamblers do where if You play that machine for a little bit. It's not paying out. You move to another one.
No.
Oh,
regular gambler?
No. See, I sit down at Aladdin machine number 42.
I think
42.
You mean addicts. I think that's the word you're searching for.
I sit down at Aladdin machine number 42, and that's where I go to town.
Yeah, see, he's got a specific machine. Yeah, he's got a
Virtua Fighter?
There's a protocol going in his head.
Virtua Fighter is good, but I gave up on the Virtua Fighter because you have to stop and play the minigames.
You have to stop. There's no stopping in pachinko. You must always be going.
If you hit the jackpot in one of the jackpots that you can hit in the Virtua Fighter machine, is it puts you into a one button Virtua Fighter fight.
It turns into Dive Kick?
Pretty much.
I swear, Mindy just texted me and said you're talking about Yakuza again. She could just hear it in my voice.
She knows.
I told her it's Shannon's fault, but I don't think she's going
to
believe me.
There are two walls between you and her right now, I'd like to point out.
I'm getting excited.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all I've played this week, though.
You're a good man, Shannon. You're making smart decisions. You are a better man than you were 4 years ago.
What are you buying?
Oh, man. Am I allowed to break a news story?
We only have two.
Don't break it. We got to have something to talk about.
Exactly. We only have two stories.
Okay. All I'm going to say is Nintendo made me a liar. A big, fat, fatty, fat liar.
All right. Tune in to the rest of the show to figure out why Shannon's a liar.
And I also bought a Yakuza 5 theme.
But you didn't just buy the theme.
I got the theme.
Because?
I bought Yakuza 5.
Yeah.
He bought a theme and it came with a free copy of the game.
That's kind of what you're actually getting right now. Yeah, that's true. You want to get technical about it. The theme is what you're getting now.
You gave him money.
I sure did.
Your responsibility.
Of course, dude. It comes with a full Taiko game.
It's not a full Taiko game. It's like three or four songs.
It's a family matter now. Okay. I mean, sheesh.
Okay. It comes with a Taiko game and it comes with more pachinko machines.
This is true. It comes with a full Virtua Fighter game.
Just imagine when Travis is an old man, you know, in his elder years, and he's talking to his grandson, like, I remember your great granddad. We would gather around the TV with your great grandma and watch Japanese mobsters beat the crap out of each other over Hostess Club money. That's going to be one of his favorite memories, Shannon.
I picked a dude up by the throat and slammed him through a Hostess Club window.
Yeah, you did. And why? Because he probably wanted more money because he spent it all in the Hostess Clubs, right?
No, he was just causing trouble. He was in the street trying to tell me, hey, you walk by me like that? I was like, yeah, of course. Now slam, smash.
You make it sound so violent. It's not that violent.
It's pretty violent.
Not that violent.
It's pretty violent. It's all that
it's
violent.
It's really funny, though, when it's happening.
It's comical, yes, but it's still pretty violent.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. This isn't my fault. I didn't bring it up.
It's partially your fault.
It's a little bit my fault, but not this week.
All right. Is that it, Shannon?
Yeah, that's it for me.
All right, Michael, what about you?
Man. I tried to buy that new One Piece Warriors game.
What do you mean, tried?
Well, I pre-ordered it. I went to go pick it up, and the copy they had for me was, like, destroyed.
Like your Meta Knight amiibo?
Yes. And he was like, oh, you don't care that it has a hole smashed through it, do you? I was like, yeah, I totally do.
Was
man.
The game still in one piece?
I don't know. It was
oh, tell me. Sh-
oh, jeez.
Yeah, sucked all the fun out of that one, didn't I? Comedy.
So I felt robbed.
Robbed the robot. Hey-o!
So I came back home and I decided to play another Dynasty Warriors game. That's what you do.
Of course.
When you're deprived of a Warriors game, you shoehorn some other one in there. So I played Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn.
Oh my gosh. What have you done?
Dude, that game is sick.
Yeah, until you get to a boss fight, and it's impossible if it's anything like the first Gundam Dynasty Warriors.
The first Dynasty Warriors Gundam is the hottest garbage.
I'm pretty sure like, I just terrible. Opened that up and just vomit came out of the case somehow. I don't know what happened.
I remember playing that game when it came out, and it was terrible.
It was
this
terrible.
Is not terrible. Good. Dynasty Warriors Gundam Reborn, I had a lot of fun with.
This is, like the, this is the third Dynasty Warriors Gundam, I think, right?
It's the fourth.
God, what, snuck another one in there?
There was one, two, third was the cel-shaded one, and then they said, you know what, that's all bad. That's all bad.
Okay, because those were all pretty bad. Like, I stopped paying attention after two.
This was the do-over, and I think it's really good. You dive in, and there's an official mode, is what they call it, official mode. And it's kind of like six mini-games in one, like six mini-campaigns, all from these different Gundam series. If there was a multiple choice question, I could tell you what the six different series were, but I don't know enough about Gundam to tell you off the top of my head.
Dang it. We'll fix that. But
I played the Mobile Suit Gundam, which I guess is like the OG Gundam.
Yeah, that's OG, yeah.
Yeah, so I rocked that, and man, it was awesome.
You were Amuro Ray messing up some Zaku 2s.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what's up.
Dude, it was great. The story, the cutscenes, the voice acting, I thought the localization they did was fantastic.
Let me tell you a little something about the 1 year war.
Okay.
It lasted for exactly 1 year.
Well, at least they are accurate with their timekeeping. Dude, you need to check that game out. We only got it digitally on PSN. Every other country got a physical copy. Okay. Dang it. But I really enjoyed it. All right. Guys have local co-op. So maybe we could hit that.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I don't know. I'm still... The first Dynasty Warriors Gundam was pretty atrocious.
Dude, this is me. This is me telling you.
Okay.
I had fun with a Dynasty Warriors game.
That means something.
A Gundam Dynasty Warriors game. I hate Dynasty Warriors.
Don't say you hate Gundam, because those are giant robots. No, you like robots.
I've liked almost all the spinoffs of Dynasty Warriors, but the Dynasty Warriors and what's the... Samurai Warriors? Not a big fan of any of those. But I've liked the One Piece ones.
Samurai
I liked
Chronicles.
I liked Hyrule Warriors. I like, all the spinoffs. Those are good. But this one I was really impressed with. It has a cool kind of SOS online mode system where if you have trouble in a level, you can call for help and somebody can join in and help you. That was kind of a cool system. I want to play some more of that this week. I really enjoyed it. I also played Grow Home.
Yeah.
I played like 5 minutes of that.
I don't blame you if you really only play 5 minutes of it. I think in that 5 minutes, you kind of see what the whole thing is. This is a free PS Plus game. I'm not going to talk about it too much because if anybody's interested, it's pretty easily attainable for a lot of people. But you are this botanical utility droid or something like that. You're this robot that's crash landed on Earth, and I guess your objective is to grow this giant beanstalk thing. Yeah?
Yeah, it's sure. Jack and the Beanstalk in the future.
Yeah, and kind of like in a Donkey Kong King of Swing style gameplay, you have L and R triggers matching your left and right arms, and you try to climb up this beanstalk, and eventually you get some, flowers and leaves to help you traverse through the air, kind of float around and fly around, help you, like, if you fall or slip off. There are checkpoints as you go up, but that seems to be the gist of it. Am I missing something?
That's basically what I got out of it.
You just climb this thing, and I helped a couple sheep get out of some rocks that had caved in on them, so I guess I'm a nice guy, but... Mm.
I was not really able to get much out of it in the few minutes that I played.
Really? Because that's all I know about it, and that sounds awesome. Like, I saw some video of that game. I think it looks super fun. I want to play it.
It looks cool. It's fun. I mean, it was pretty, but... I mean, I probably played it for about an hour and a half, and I think I got, halfway up this 2,000... meter goal that it first set out for you. And that might just be like the first level, or it could be the entire game. I have no idea. But I got to the point where I started to get some different, utilities to help me fly. And it started to get to be pretty difficult to see how to actually keep this thing growing. And I just kind of gave up. So I don't know. I'll probably go back and check it out one more time. But, let's grow home. It's pretty cool.
Can't grow home again, Mike.
Yeah.
That's not a pun. That's literally what they're trying to say. So that's not my fault.
I want to see what you think of this, Shelby.
I want to play it. I don't have a PS4, but yeah, that when I get one, that will be something I play.
It is also on the personal computer.
Yeah, but I don't have a video card.
True.
For pretty much specifically that reason, to keep me from buying games on a computer.
I also played another one of the new Plus games. Super Time Force Ultra.
Okay.
Which I'd really been anticipating this one. That game has a lot more going on than I thought, man. The Time Force is a huge mechanic of it. It's a 2D side-scrolling shooter, but I think that's kind of doing it a disservice because they built some mechanics into this with the time control, and it's not really like a Prince of Persia Sands of Time type of thing. Sure, you can rewind time, but you have a team, your whole entire Time Force with you, and you have like a guy that has like a shield, you have like a sniper chick, you have like a soldier with a blaster, and you pick up other people along the way that can kind of help on your team. But you can manipulate time to layer your team on top of each other so that they're all doing a move simultaneously, if that makes sense.
Like, you can have a dude shooting a wall and blow up the wall, but then rewind time, and that dude still goes there and shoots the wall, but because he already blew it up in the past, it's not there. He's just shooting something behind the wall now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
What you did in the past before you rewind time still happens when you let time go forward again. So you end up with, like, six U's running around doing what you did.
Yeah, basically. And you have to do that because you have a pretty strict time limit on the levels, and when you get to something like a boss battle, you have to... I mean, you will do a lot of do-overs, but it's pretty lenient with letting you roll back time and complete those do-overs. But yeah, I don't want to say it's a super steep learning curve, but I think it's deceptive. I think there's a lot more going on than you would expect. It's not a run-and-gun, just push-right-to-win kind of game.
You have to think four-dimensionally.
Yeah, you really are racing the clock, and you really are having to be a little bit graceful with how you get your whole team working and getting past some of the enemies and stages. So... that was pretty cool. I was surprised. It was more going on there than I expected. I'm really excited because Shuhei Yoshida's in there, and I really want to get to him as a playable character. Because he tweets as one of his attacks. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to keep playing that to check that out. And it's almost Halloween, so I figured I'd start playing some Halloween-themed games, maybe some scary games. And I finally went back and played Poltergeist, a Pixelated Horror. You guys might remember I bought this a few months ago on the Vita, and then recently they made it cross-buy to PlayStation 4. This is also on PC. But this game is a lot like The Haunting starring Poltergeist on the Sega Genesis.
Hot classics from Electronic Arts.
Timeless. Everybody loves it. How could you not? But the story's pretty simple. You're this dude, Henry B. Knight. You and your wife move into this mansion in what I guess is like the late 1800s. She bites it, and then you bite it, and then some people try to move into your house, and you're like, nah. And then you try to haunt them.
Wait, is this the plot of Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
Okay.
And The Haunting, sort of. Except you get hit by your, you know, this dude that, what is the plot of The Haunting? You're skateboarding. And when you die on the skateboard, you then go and try to haunt the guy that runs the skateboard company. I think it's the story of The Haunting. So, this isn't quite as good as The Haunting, but you see where I'm going with this. But this is a puzzle game. And I actually think it's really good.
Wait, the game you're talking about is not The Haunting?
The game I'm talking about is not The Haunting, but it's very similar.
What is the game you're talking about called?
Poltergeist, a Pixelated Horror.
Okay, and there's also a game called The Haunting starring Poltergeist, and there's a game called The Haunting.
The Haunting starring Poltergeist is the only other game I'm talking about.
So is that the one where you wreck on the skateboard?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Poltergeist was this punker.
So there's not
died on a skateboard.
There's not three different games?
No.
There's only two games.
It's only two games.
Okay, I thought there was a third ghost game in there. I got confused.
So the new game I'm talking about, Poltergeist, a Pixelated Horror.
Not The Haunting starring Poltergeist.
Not that.
Okay.
But it's very similar.
Okay.
So it's made by a couple, husband and wife couple. I think they're from South America. I'm not sure the exact country. But they put this game out, and you're put inside the home, and it's kind of this isometric view, and you have to very strategically use so many haunts per stage to get everybody out of the house.
Oh, HPS, right.
What?
On stage.
So you'll have like, you can like take over electronics, you can launch things across the house, you can possess an item to have it freak out and scare them, that kind of thing. But they throw some curveballs at you, like they'll put some boss people inside the stage and it'll be like, they're immune to this type of motion, or they're immune to this type of motion, or they'll block it. So it's kind of one of those deals where you only have so many moves, and you really have to think a couple steps ahead to see what's going to give you the most bang for your buck for each one of your plays. I got really into it. I actually probably played like 25, 30 out of the 45 stages.
Oh, gosh. I thought you were going to say hours.
Oh, no. But it has kind of different themes as you go along. Like, you are going through time, seemingly almost like 100 years, because I'm in the middle of the 80s theme right now.
You said possess electronics and stuff, and I'm like, I was wondering how that worked in a castle. I don't know what a blender looks like in the 17th century.
And one of the boss dudes is basically a Ghostbuster. He even looks like a Ghostbuster.
Which one?
I mean, you're in the 80s, and then there's a modern setting, but I'm a few stages away from that. So when I come back, I'll have some more impressions of that. But I really like this game. I think it's pretty cool. I'm playing it on the PS4. I actually think it would be better on the Vita, because some of the stuff you could just tap to haunt instead of navigating with the D-pad. So I think it's pretty good.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time anyone has ever said tap to haunt. I just want to make sure you know that you're blazing new ground here.
This game's cool, man. I really like it. It's fun.
No, I'm cool. I'm glad you like it. Yeah, you love the haunting starring Poltergeist, so this is like a dream come true.
You have to scare dogs, and Mindy was super unhappy about that. Because they're like screaming and crying when you scare them out of the house.
If you want to scare dogs, I'll turn you on to a game called Geist on the GameCube.
Mm.
Don't play that game.
That's about it, man.
What are you buying?
I really don't think I bought anything.
Not with the show notes.
There's
say.
Something in the show notes. There's an acronym. We don't know what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're speaking in code in the show notes. I don't know what that doesn't sort
oh,
of.
Oh, I got Minecraft on the Vita.
Really?
Why?
Forgot what? About that. It was on clearance at Target. The yeah, case that has not a code.
Even
a
it's not even a real cartridge.
Dude, it was cheap. I don't care. Cheaper than what the code would have been. And it's a Vita case. I could always use another Vita case.
That's what he really bought. Wait, is there he doesn't care about Minecraft.
Is there nothing in the Vita case?
No, a lot of Vita games are like that. Like the new baseball games like that.
Yeah, it's just a code inside it.
Why even sell the case? Just sell the dang card. A code on a card.
Dude, they did that with Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and DuckTales. Like, those were just codes and cases.
Yep.
At first. And then DuckTales got a physical
The
disc.
Case is the most expensive part of that proposition for the manufacturer.
Not on Vita.
Those cases? It's cheaper than just printing it on a piece of cardboard. And heavier. You got shit.
Oh, I thought you were saying the case is cheaper than the game card.
No, of course not. The case is more expensive than a code.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe this is why it was on clearance.
They're
I
mean, just like...
Cheap. It was just a few bucks. I mean, it was really cheap.
People feel so bad for the Vita. It's like, well, we'll at least give this code a home. I don't know.
So, I don't know if I'm going to play it. But that's the thing, and I have it. Mm. And I might have made some really good decisions that we'll talk about when we get to the news, but, you know.
Oh, no.
That's for you to decide.
Oh, terrible decision.
Shelby?
What?
You've been known to make good decisions.
I do.
What have you been doing?
I've played a game called Guacamelee, and I beat it.
Okay. Yay!
And that game's really fun. And it's really buggy. I had another weird bug where I was going through a series of challenge rooms, and I got to a really hard part. And my character just dropped into a room and never moved again.
Weird.
And nothing ever spawned. And I had to, like, reset the game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that game is just buggy. I don't know. I beat it now, so whatever. I'm done with it. I've 100%ed it, so there's nothing left for me to do. But yeah, that game's fun. I like it. It's a cool little game. I had a couple downtimes. I finished Guacamelee a little faster than I was expecting. So I had a day before a new video game got to my house, so I decided to pick up Gravity Rush and play through the last couple challenge missions I never did in that game. And I did that, and I remembered that that game is really complicated to control, especially when I haven't played it in like 2 years. So yeah, that was fun. But I beat the challenge missions, moved on with that, and then I came home Friday... No, Thursday. And it was very hard for me to leave Danganronpa another episode of Ultra Spear Girls in the shrink wrap, because I knew if I opened it Thursday night, I would just never sleep. So I left it in the shrink wrap.
That's probably the best decision.
But quite literally, the instant I got home from work on Friday, I walked from the garage door
to the counter, pulled out my pocket knife, opened DanganronPa another episode, and put it in my Vita, and immediately turned it on and started playing. I was not home for 37 seconds before that game was on and in my Vita.
Have you finished it?
No, I haven't. I played it until I literally could not keep my eyes open any longer. I was seriously sitting there, like, just like, you know, you get that droopy eyelid thing. I go, must sleep, must play game. And I think I kind of fell asleep for a little bit because luckily there was nothing going on around. But yeah, I'm still pretty early on in that game, so I don't have much to talk about yet other than there's a lot of story in that game, and I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. Not that that's a bad thing at all, but yeah, the Danganronpa is known for its story, so that game's pretty cool so far. I don't know a lot about what's going on yet. Like I said, I'm probably still pretty early on. but yeah, I bought the collector's edition of that for some reason. I need to stop buying collector's editions. It was always a bad decision, especially since I didn't even know what was in the collector's edition.
You didn't look before you bought it?
Probably not. Again, good, great decisions. Like, I knew there was a CD and an art book, but then apparently there's a necktie and a glittery eye patch.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, two gigantic pieces of metal. Like, one of them is, like, a big, it's like a brooch almost, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like two pinholes, and then the other is just like this gigantic, like, silver dollar pancake size necktie, I guess?
Yep.
I didn't even realize I was buying pieces of metal, so I think I'm gonna make a new rule that I don't buy collector's editions anymore.
Suckers.
Okay, if you want to call yourself a sucker and say you're buying sucker's editions, so be it. Sucker's editions.
Yep.
I shouldn't have bought this. It was a bad decision. I mostly just wanted the soundtrack CD. But then I thought about it and realized that I bought the Sucker's Edition for Danganronpa 2, and I'm pretty sure that soundtrack CD is still in the shrink wrap in the box. So I make good decisions. But yeah, I have not played much of that game. I want to play it more. It seems pretty cool so far. They've kind of turned Danganronpa into a third-person shooter, but there's a lot of story stuff. Micah?
Yep.
You going to play this?
Yep.
You should. There's a lot of Toko in here. You're going to like that.
I would, Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yeah, she's funny.
I would really like to play that and Metal Gear Solid. I just
don't have time. It's gonna happen. Yeah, we got like five pages of homework this week. So, yeah, it's five workbook pages and the listening thing that we didn't do last week. So,
and a composition.
Yeah.
I'm already and a quiz.
Yep. That's a bad idea. I don't speak Japanese. Why am I doing this? Also, there was a free Danganronpa Vita theme up. I bought that and turned that on and had to turn it off. Not that it wasn't cool and all, but the music for it was way too loud.
You can turn the music off, though.
How do you do that?
It's in sound settings.
I looked and couldn't find it. I guess I missed it. But yeah, like the default music setting for that theme is ridiculously loud. Like where I would leave it for a game and hear it fine is good, but the music would be blaring.
Yeah, I usually turn the theme music off and just keep the visuals.
I've never had a Vita theme before, and I looked for it and didn't see it. I was looking in theme settings. Maybe that was my mistake. Maybe
I think it's like sound. Yeah.
Okay, so I need to check there. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Like I said, I want to play more Danganronpa, and I'm not going to talk about it a lot because that game is easy to spoil, but I don't know enough to say really anything intelligent about it. But if you do want to know more about it, there's a review on the site.
What are you buying?
So I bought this a long time ago, but my Lucina Figma showed up today.
Sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, she's pretty great. That's a fantastic toy. I continue to love Figmas. They're cool. What can I say about toys on an audio podcast? It's kind of hard when I can't show you, other than, hey, this is a cool toy. Hey, Micah.
Yes?
I have two Lucinas now.
Were you irresponsible?
No, I mean, I have two. Like, I have a Lucina Figma and a Lucina Amiibo.
Where are you going with this, Shelby?
I'm just trying to make you hate yourself.
You could be saying that you have two and you only need one. And you're going to be a good friend?
Oh, no, I'm not a good friend at all.
Carry on.
That's kind of it for me. Not a whole lot of things. Yeah, Guacamelee is buggy. Gravity Rush is hard to control. Danganronpa is sleep-depriving. Next.
Ugh. That means it's my turn?
Yeah.
Alright. I've only really been playing one thing this week.
Oh?
Yeah. Package showed up on my doorstep and I did not expect it.
Okay.
And it contained Disney Infinity 3.0.
Well, okay.
Nice.
And I've been playing the heck out of that game this week.
Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction for the end of the year, and that my top two games this year will be games that focus heavily on user-generated content.
Wait, you can't pick Minecraft for your game of the year, can you?
Minecraft will not be the other one. That would be Mario Maker when it comes
out. Oh, right. Right, that game's probably going to be pretty good.
No, Disney Infinity 3.0 is a fantastic game. Shelby, you're not going to like it. It's Star Wars.
All right, well, I'll see you guys later.
All right. As far as the gameplay itself, it's very familiar to anybody who's played the previous games. Maybe it's just because it's Star Wars content that I'm finally like, okay, this is the Disney Infinity game for me, because the Marvel stuff was cool, but I'm not a huge comic book guy. The first game was just sort of a mishmash of a bunch of different properties. The starter set, I think, had Pirates of the Caribbean, Monsters University, and The Incredibles. But this one, though, has done something. They've finally done something Disney has that I think will cement them as the best toys to life game, which previously I've always said I think Skylanders is the best of all of the toys to life sort of games that we have. But this one, they created this thing called Toy Box Takeover. It's an expansion to Disney Infinity 3.0 that puts a story mode inside the toy box, which they've never had before. So if you have this one little playset, I think it's like $20 if you want to buy it separately. It's a little thing that you put on the portal and it opens up this story mode for Toy Box, which is as long or longer than any of the other story modes, whether it's the Star Wars, Inside Out, any of the Marvel stuff from previously. It's as long or longer as those. But what they've done is they finally created a thing where you can use every single figure you own inside a story mode, and they can interact with you, with each other. So you can have your Star Wars characters going into the Pirates of the Caribbean section of the level and just mowing down the undead pirates. Or you can have, you know, your Marvel superheroes show up inside the Monsters University world. The story is all set behind Syndrome basically being like, yeah, I'm the only villain that's ever been, you know, in the game before, and he's trying to take over the toy box, and you have to use your characters to stop him. The coolest thing about it, though, for me was that your host inside this toy box story mode is Merlin from Sword in the Stone, which has always been one of my favorite Disney movies. So, absolutely loving this game, whether it's the Star Wars content or any of the toy box stuff. Getting in, I haven't messed around with building anything yet. I've never been a huge create my own levels kind of person. But I need to get in here and see if it's any easier to create things with toy box mode than it has been in the past, because even in the last game, it was still fairly clunky to get in and sort of manipulate the world and to make it do the things that you wanted to do to create content.
Is there an advantage to playing that on Wii U as far as the content creation stuff and the gamepad?
You can use the touchscreen to kind of position things a little bit, but not really. There's not a huge advantage to using the Wii U and the gamepad over if you have a PS4 and a Wii U or an Xbox One or whatever.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter what platform you're playing on. And I don't remember if this is on the previous platforms or not, the 360, the PS3, and the Wii. I think it's on 360 and PS3, but not Wii. I think Wii U is the only Nintendo platform they put this one on. But really, really digging it. So if anybody out there is interested in this, or they have kids who maybe haven't seen Star Wars yet, but you want to kind of introduce them to those characters, this might be a good way to do it. absolutely enjoying the game, though. But that's really all I've been playing.
Well, Shelby's, like, really gone.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I mean, you told him, like, Star Wars, so... I think you went to play Danganronpa.
All right, I went and made nachos. Are you still talking about Star Wars?
No, we are done talking Star Wars. We just finished.
Oh, it was okay. Only weird for like 30 seconds, Shelby.
Oh, really? Good timing on my part, then.
Pretty good timing. Your natural nacho clock is pretty dead on.
No, we're good. Here's your good nachos. Yep. Okay, I hit the button?
Yeah, you can hit the button.
All right, great. Perfect timing on my part.
Absolutely.
What are you buying?
Nothing video game related. I did pick up a couple books this week. They're not new books, they're old books. A copy of Hunt for Red October and a Michael Crichton book called Pirate Latitudes, which looked interesting. But that is it for me. So let's take a quick break. We will come back and we will talk about the two news stories we have, and then we'll move on to reader feedback.
Boom.
These nachos are delicious.
Shannon's a liar.
The biggest news story of the week is that Shannon is a liar. What's going on, Shannon?
Oh. So, you remember how I said I wasn't going to buy Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer?
Like bite-sized tortilla chips, slice of American cheese, and like a couple pepperoni. You got yourself a delectable snack, people.
That sounds pretty good.
I'm good.
I really want to hear how Shannon's a liar, though.
Nintendo... They're releasing the regular-sized, standard-sized new Nintendo 3DS with the interchangeable cover plates, but they're releasing it exclusively in an Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer bundle.
Called it. For now. For now. We don't know if it's exclusively for that forever.
I'd rather keep myself safe than sorry.
Sure.
So Nintendo made me a big fat liar, and yep. Now I am going to be the... proud owner of a Animal Crossing
proud is not the proper word.
I told you guys when they dropped the 2DS price, this was why.
Yeah, Mike called it. So I tried to do an image search for this after I heard this news, and all I saw was a 3DS XL Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer bundle. Are these different?
Yeah.
Obviously, they would be if it's different systems.
Yeah.
It's the non-XL.
Like, how come I couldn't find that on the... Maybe I just beat the internet to the punch on that one. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
Other territories, I know Japan got an exclusive Happy Home Designer bundle that came with an XL, a new Nintendo 3DS XL, with a non-changeable cover plate, like just a permanent branded system. But this Happy Home Designer bundle for the U.S. is coming out with the Isabelle cover plate. And it's coming out with a Happy Home Designer cover plate in the box together with a digital copy of the game and one amiibo card.
Yes.
Retail is $219.99.
Went out on the 25th.
I have a very important question that may decide the future of humanity.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Is the card in that set exclusive?
We'll find
that
out.
That is not known at this point.
Let me go out on a limb here. And say that I bet it is.
You
know how I know? Because the world is a dark, cruel place.
We will soon find out. And you know what? just burn it all.
Tell the people what you call it, Happy Home Designer, before the show.
Happy house arrest.
Shannon, we bought that thing. It's going to be good. No regrets, man.
That's not the only new 3DS that's coming out, though.
What?
Just stay married. Just stay married.
I can't do the cards. I can't do the cards.
You already got one.
I just shut up.
Yeah, don't stop at one. You can't just stop at one.
You can't, just like these nachos, you can't eat just one. My nachos are gone.
You can eat my card, Shannon, if you want to.
Okay. Ooh.
along with the news of the Animal Crossing bundle... Nintendo also announced that on October 30th, there will be a Hyrule edition of the 3DS XL coming out.
Wait, which one? The big one or the little?
He said XL.
XL.
I was eating nachos. I couldn't hear over the crunching.
So yes, this is an XL. It is a Legend of Zelda themed version of it that has a Hylian crest on the front in gold, of course.
I thought the whole point of these faceplates was they were going to stop doing that. What just happened?
Well, this is the XL, so it doesn't have faceplates.
That's why I'm pro regular and not into the XL. Because I'm tired of these limited editions every year.
I
don't want the bigger system.
I don't like faceplates, though. I don't like that. It's bad design for a device.
Why don't you wait and see how they're designed first?
There are 65 different faceplate styles currently available in Japan, and there's also 5 new girls editions that are coming out soon.
I've seen pictures on the internet. I have a pretty good idea how they are.
Well, we saw them when we were there.
Yeah,
We haven't seen how they fit.
I don't necessarily
give it a chance. Just give peace a chance, man.
No, you're giving chaos a chance. This is how the world ends.
This Hyrule edition of the 3DS XL will launch in time for the release of Triforce Heroes, but the game will not be included with the system.
Wait, Triforce Heroes or Hyrule Warriors?
Triforce Heroes.
Is Hyrule Warriors going to be out by the time the system is out?
I don't think so.
Really? That seems weird.
I think Hyrule Warriors is either December or Q1 next year.
Yeah.
They're releasing a system specific to a game without releasing the game. Is this what you're telling me?
Well, this is not the first time Nintendo's done that. They've done themed 3DSs that launched around the time of a game that didn't include a copy of the game.
Yeah, but at least the game and the system launched relatively close to each other, like same week kind of thing.
Yeah, this is launching with Triforce Heroes.
Right.
And it does not come with the game.
When does this system come out and when does Hyrule Warriors come out?
This comes out on October 30th, and Hyrule Warriors is not till next year, I think.
See, that's what's really weird about it. Like, why is it not a Triforce Heroes branded one then?
Well, they're calling it the Hyrule Edition, but it's just a Legend of Zelda theme.
Okay, it's 3DS. Not Hyrule Warriors specific. Crest. Okay, that makes sense. I thought it was Hyrule Warriors specific.
No.
Okay. Yeah, you can see why that would be weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and this system is launching for $199.99. So, you got those two brand new 3DSs coming out later this year. And then the other news story we wanted to talk about.
All right, last up in the news.
Briefly, the new Ace Attorney game, Ace Attorney 6, was announced earlier today to be coming out in North America.
Okay, people like those games.
No news on when. No time frame. Just that Capcom has said Ace Attorney 6 will come to the West.
We're Capcom. We still make video games occasionally. Thank you for coming to our press conference. You know it's a hot video game franchise when you're covered by Data Drain. That's how you know you've made it. And Ace Attorney franchise has been covered by Data Drain.
Have any of us played the Ace Attorney games at all?
No, nope.
I've not.
I have played I've played the first game in the trilogy that came out on the 3DS.
Okay.
They seem like some games I would enjoy because I like me a good visual novel, as Danganronpa is true, but they're kind of hard to come by, I think, now, ain't they? At least physical form.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I don't know. If only there was a podcast on this website devoted to this series. Maybe people could learn more things about it.
We should find out if that's a thing.
What?
If there's a podcast devoted to this specific game.
There is. I said it earlier. That was.
I know.
That was me. Oh, do you know? Are you in on the joke?
Yeah.
Okay. This is awkward.
Yeah. I've never played an Ace Attorney game, so I don't have any, real interest in this. But I know there are a lot of people that listen to the show, I think, that are interested in stuff like this. So, announcing a new Ace Attorney game, kind of a big deal for Capcom.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the news segment. 10 minutes in.
So we can talk about the PS4 beta, but that's not a thing that I know anything about.
It's a beta.
More storage, streaming straight to YouTube, that kind of stuff.
Request to watch your friend's gameplay. That might be cool.
That is kind of interesting. You can just send your friends requests all the time because they wouldn't get annoyed by that at all.
Yeah, I think those are the three big ones. They didn't guarantee these would make it to the final, so I don't think we should really get too excited, but I expect the more storage, the YouTube, and the request to do gameplay will be there. So
yeah. So, well, that is it for the news.
All right. Well, so, thanks. See you in 7 days.
Let's move on to reader feedback.
I can only hope that there is a plethora of reader feedback due to the limited news segment.
There's a little bit.
Dang it. Well, I mean, so, good that there's some. Don't get me wrong.
We need more.
It's hard to get people to send an email, you know?
Yeah, all of our feedback comes from Facebook.
Like, I listen to podcasts, and I'm like, hey, write in, tell us what you think about this. I'm like, not going to do that, I'm lazy. But then here I am on our podcast going, man, why are people lazy like me? Don't be like me.
Well, Shelby, people didn't send emails, but they did go to the Facebook group and send us messages that way.
Well, I definitely don't do that, so they're not being like me. That's good, I guess.
Ling via Facebook says, you have one song to save the world. It has to be the very best song. What song would that be?
Yikes.
Hmm.
Oh, I should have read this ahead of time.
What is Love by Rick Astley?
I'm going to go with Bonnie Tyler's I Need a Hero.
That's a good one.
Mm. I mean, Johnny Five pretty much like saved the entire universe. Yeah. Being a short circuit too with that.
Did you ever play the part in Saints Row 3 where you're rushing to save the day and that song's playing?
I've seen that part.
Yeah, that's a pretty good part.
Have you listened to the episode of our podcast where that's one of the buffer songs?
Yep.
It was probably when I was playing Saints Row 3.
No, it was Short Circuit.
Was it?
We were talking about Short Circuit.
Oh, we were talking about Short Circuit?
Yeah.
I'm probably sure. I bet we had the
best use of that song is the end of Short Circuit 2.
That's a yes.
I'm certain of that.
How many other times has that song been used? It's been Short Circuit 2.
It was in Shrek.
It was in Shrek, apparently. It was in that movie called Bandits with Billy Bob Thornton and Bruce Willis, and it was used in Saints Row. And then I guess, you know, Bonnie Tyler actually did it. So that's 5 uses of that song in the history of mankind. I'm sure we're not missing any. That's all of them.
That's probably it, though. That'll get you motivated.
That's a good motivation, yeah. The show notes also say that Ling was on the Facebook group this week telling us that he bought Yakuza 5 and he doesn't even have a PS3 because of you, Micah.
You hear that, Tony?
Changing the world.
You can buy the game without having a PS3.
That is true.
There's precedence. You can vote with your dollars. Thank you, Ling. You're a good person. Everybody likes you. You're super cool.
Yay.
He's like the best person I know.
That's not true.
It's pretty much true.
Gary via Facebook wants to know...
I didn't get to answer the song question.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to pick Tell Your World, the Miku song.
Okay.
That's going to be your apocalypse? Like, I'm going to get motivated to save the day?
Dude, what are you talking about?
That song makes you cry.
I know, right? It moves. It'll move the world.
The fetal position crying.
Well, you know what?
Be knocking out thugs, taking down the universe.
When the world's ending, everyone will at least, you know, shed a tear at the appropriate time.
You're not getting the theme correct here, man.
No, I nailed it. What are you talking about? Let's read the lyrics to that song, for crying loud.
Oh, that's the point. You just need oomph, not tears.
If I just need something that's going to motivate me to crack some dude's skulls, then I just want the soundtrack from Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't think you can pick an entire... Well, I don't know. It's probably, that soundtrack's probably one giant guitar riff, so yeah, that probably counts.
I'm pretty sure if you're holding a sword and Rules of Nature's playing, somebody's going to die.
It might be you.
Hey, that's how these things go, man. You never know for whom the sword foot will come next.
Gary via Facebook wants to know, what dog are you?
Huh?
That's what he wants to know. If you were a dog, what dog would you be?
I'm a hot dog, I guess. I don't know. My dog has a first name. It's Oscar.
You're an American dog.
I'll go with an American dog. I have a crunchy breading that's been fried on the outside.
You're lightly battered and fried.
on a stick. Come with one of those futuristic ketchup and mustard dispersing packets that Michael loves so much.
God, those were amazing. Guys, seriously, that was the future in my hand. Can't top that.
You all need to pick a snack that you are. Sorry, I got the question confused.
Can I be a hot dog?
No, Shelby's a hot dog.
I'm a hot dog in breading, so if you want to be a substandard dog, I mean, go for it. But
can be a corn dog?
That's not what an American dog is. Maybe you're confused on the concept here. I think you should be one of those hot dogs with, like, cheese injected into it.
I'm a little pitchy dog.
Short and stout.
I don't know.
I'd be a terrible dog.
You'd somehow still buy CE editions of Neptunia games as a dog. I don't know how that's happened.
Hey, dogs can use the internet.
I just want to be like one of those little tiny toy dogs that gets away with everything just because the owners just don't want to hurt it because it's so
carried
small.
Around in a purse.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You want to be purse dog? Man, I think you know a guy.
I wouldn't mind the pampered life, man.
You want to be a purse dog too? I don't know why I'm yelling at you. I picked a food.
No.
That's a good question. I like that question.
If I was a naughty dog, could I play the new Uncharted?
Oh, that's a good one.
I like the naughty dog that's thing. A good that's one. A good answer. All right, so let's review. We have a Japanese corn dog, a game developer, a dog in a purse, and what did you say, Tony?
Said, I'm a little pitchy
dog. Yeah, you said you're a little teapot, right. You're a dog in the shape of a gravy boat, I guess. I don't know what that means.
No, I'm what Randy Jackson told people on American Idol.
I don't know what that means. I'm just going to pretend you said Randy Savage and imagine you as a dog.
That's even better,
a Slim
really.
Jim, so.
He could be Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Who's that?
I need to get out more, Shelby.
No, I don't. I kind of like not getting out. Apparently there's dogs out there that are trying to kill me.
All right, so our next one comes from somebody, a new name, I think. I don't remember seeing this name before. Edgar via Facebook says, the current rumor on the NX is that it will be some sort of handheld/home console hybrid. What would the Nintendo crew think if Nintendo also released a virtual console, ultra-portable handheld, similar in form factor to a Game Boy Pocket or a Game Boy Advance SP? This console would be digital-only, no physical media of any type. It would play all virtual console games as well as some retro-style indie games like Shovel Knight. Also, what would you guys name such a device?
I call it the American Dog.
That's a good name for a video game.
Right? I nailed it, I think.
I'd call it In Your Dreams because I don't think Nintendo is capable of making such an amazing thing happen.
Pretty good name, too.
I appreciate that it calls out the Game Boy Pocket and the SP. Arguably, they're two fast handhelds.
Why does the SP not have a headphone jack? Some wounds never heal.
I would, too. Absolutely.
I would only buy if somehow in the process of making it, they made it to where I could end my boycott.
It'd be cool if they brought back the name Game Boy, too, but that wouldn't happen.
That would be perfect for something like this.
Yeah.
I don't think they could get away with
the Game Boy Retro or something.
Game Boy S or Game Boy I or whatever.
Game Boy SP.
The new Game Boy.
Oh my god.
Then they'd have to come out with the XL model. And
yeah, it'll do it.
It'd be all confusing. No, if I could get a virtual...
Game Boy console, U. Oh, jeez.
If I could get a virtual console machine like that where I could legitimately and legally buy all of these games, because I have one right now. It's called the PSP. I would buy one in a heartbeat. Absolutely, I would.
There was a time period when Will looked into his magical Karnak powers, and nobody knows who Karnak is. I just dated myself. Johnny Carson.
It's Johnny Carson.
He called that the next PSP would be called the PSPSP. And that made me laugh, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and every now and then I find that piece of paper and remember that moment.
Can I? Okay. So talking about doing things legitimately, I am strongly considering buying an Amiquo. Do you guys have any idea what an Amiquo is?
Yeah, it is the dark path. Yeah, we shouldn't
talk about. Idea.
Imagine if you had all... Just like, instead of catching all the Pokemon, you could only need Ditto. Just imagine if you didn't need all the Amiibo, you just needed this thing. This thing is the Ditto of Amiibos.
It was only a matter of time before somebody made this, man. Spoofing NFC signals like that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's all I need.
It should be shaped like Ditto. They really messed up. It should be shaped like a purple blob with a goofy smile on his face. Just waving to you because he's so happy.
Oh my gosh.
I love Ditto. He's so cute. There were Ditto plushies in the Pokemon Center in Japan. I wanted to buy one so bad. Took every ounce of my willpower not to buy it. Mike was there.
Yep.
He saw how much it pains me.
It was good.
And then we went to the Pokemon Center in Okinawa, and there was a Pikachu like wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Dang it, I missed Japan.
Yeah, I got that one with him playing the Taiko. That was pretty great.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You almost didn't get that. I had to force you to get that.
Dude, we had to show some restraint, man.
There's a time and place for everything.
We're halfway through this trip, man. A whole suitcase was full.
Our last one comes from Daniel via Facebook, who says, spanning the whole franchise, what is your favorite Mario game? And I'm breaking this up into two questions. What is your favorite Mario game and your favorite Mario power-up of all time?
Game.
My favorite game is Super Mario World, no doubt.
Game would be Mario 3. Never really played. I don't think I've really played any Mario games after 3, honestly. Never played World. Never really played 64. I played Mario Galaxy. Never played Galaxy 2. I barely played Sunshine. I stopped. They peaked, dude.
Yeah, they peaked with World.
Yeah. No, wait, I don't play that one.
I like 64 and the Wing Cap. When I first started playing that and I got that sensation of flight on Bob-omb Battlefield, I would just fly on that stage for hours. I don't think I can say that about any other power-up. I mean, I love the frog suit. I love the Tanuki suit. I mean, I love some of those things from Mario 3, and I adore Mario 3. But just from a fun gameplay perspective, like what the Wing Cap power-up gave you in Mario 64, I had so much fun just flying in that game.
See, I've always been a big fan of the Boomerang Mario suit.
Yeah.
My favorite power-up is that green bubbly potion in a beaker you pull out of the ground in Mario 2. Just because what the heck is going on?
I thought it was red.
All the cherries turn to coins, what I say?
It's red. Green.
I said green?
You said green.
I totally saw it red in my head.
Maybe you're colorblind in your head.
Never thought of that. How would I know? I can't see.
I love Mario 2, man.
Now I'm not going to be able to sleep. What if I am colorblind in my head?
This is a really hard question.
The answer is Mario 2 and Birdo's own eggs.
I wanted to say that just to make the what sound.
Wow.
Bow. But then I also thought like that awesome grrr sound when that falcon head just eats you when you go in the wall. Yeah. Man, that game's weird.
I've got it. Dance Dance Revolution Mario Mix, power up the dance pad.
It's a stretch.
That's stretching the rules there, but I mean...
I'll allow it.
You know who's not in that Dance Dance Mario game? Daisy.
It's true.
Who's Daisy?
I hate you.
That's just wrong, Micah.
You're dead to me now.
I've never seen her in a game.
Ow. I hate all right. Everything you stand for. I'm going to burn my copy of the Yakuza just because of spite.
You can't. Pre-orders are no refund.
Look. Dance Dance Revolution Mario Mix is one of the first... Actually, I think it's probably the only game where Waluigi is the straight-up legit bad guy.
Waluigi is in a game and not Daisy. That's why I hate that game. Now I remember.
He steals, like, the music keys, and you have to go and get them back by dancing. It's great.
Do you guys remember the opening video for Mario Power Tennis on the GameCube?
It's like a 13-minute
video. It's like ridiculously overproduced. Like, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's a blooper reel you unlock later. Like, Camelot lost their mind at some point and just like, we're going to make a Mario movie at the beginning of Mario Power Tennis. YouTube that or something. It's awesome.
Are they doing the new Wii U one?
I don't know.
Camelot?
Does Camelot even exist anymore?
Those dudes are all right. And then 2000s, man. Late 90s, early 2000s, those guys were in their prime.
They made some awesome stuff. Yeah, I don't know if that studio... I want to say it doesn't exist in the same capacity, but I don't know. I hope so, because that game was great.
As far as I know, Camelot still does all the Mario sports games.
Yeah. Whatever that Capcom golf game was on the Wii, they made that too.
Next Level did, like, Punch-Out and one of the Mario Striker games, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But golf and tennis might still be Camelot.
Yes, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash for Wii U is Camelot.
Yeah, I'm worried about that game. I want it to be good. Mario Tennis Open Tour, I've never played it, but Tony, you said it wasn't as good, so that kind of scared not that me away good. From it. And seeing that video at E3 is probably early, but man, some of those animations, like
when they were big and they hit the ball, like the ball was nowhere near the racket when they hit it. That looked pretty rough to me, but maybe it was just early. I don't know.
No, their 2004 and 2005 tennis and golf games for GameCube. Or the 2003 and 2004. Ones were good
too. Yeah, awesome. Like Toadstool Tour and Mario Power Tennis, those GameCubes are fantastic. Like
they really are.
Yeah.
And Camelot made one of my favorite RPGs of all time with Golden Sun. That game is great.
That was Camelot?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I am absolutely sure. Their name is front and center when you turn that game on.
Okay.
So, but that is going to be the show for this week, guys. So, if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show this week, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we've got going on over there. Come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us. Send us questions for next week's show. That would be fantastic.
Review also, the show.
Listen to the other two podcasts on the site, Data Drain and Nintendo Pals. Both of those are fantastic shows from friends of ours. Awesome.
Tell them to review the shows.
What?
Tell them to review the shows.
Review the shows?
Yeah.
On whatever podcast listening service they have?
Yeah. I'm that thing? To be secret, okay. So they don't hear me.
Okay. Everybody go
no,
to
you
your
don't
podcast.
Be secret. You speak normally.
I'm trying to tell them, Shelby.
They can hear you. They can't hear me.
Okay.
I'm colorblind in my head.
Go to whatever podcast listening service you listen to the show on and give us a review, because that really does help us out. We want to know what you guys think of this show, whether it's good, it's bad, it's indifferent. We don't care. Just tell us what you think.
3-star review. Indifferent.
Whatever.
Like it is a podcast. I can confirm that.
So, thank you, Shannon, for being on the show this week.
You know, the solution to getting all the Amiibo cards is to just get the Amiquo. Then I can have all the cards all at once.
Didn't work for the Kid Icarus AR cards.
It's true.
Thank you, Mike, for being on the show.
I can't blame Shannon for trying to save his marriage. But there's got to be a better way.
That's a good thing to do.
There really does have to be a better way.
Yeah, you don't have to resort to that.
Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
Sure.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
God.
Oh, don't die, Micah. Are you sure?
I'll be fine.
Are you sure?
Don't die.
Fine.
I mean, if you're gonna die, I mean, at least do it in between segments. Like, do it at the do it before we start recording, so we don't have to like drop you in the middle of the show. That'd be awkward.
Don't do it on air.
I died before the howdy howdy.
That is true.
You a ghost now?
No.
Have you achieved your lifelong goal of becoming the polter guy? Now you can start the show.
Just start the show.
Here we go.